President Biden announced today that he's coming to Milwaukee to speak on Labor Day, just 2 months before the midterm elections. On recent stops, he's highlighted the accomplishments of his administration, most recently the cancellation of some student loan debt and the passing of the Inflation Reduction Act. Those actions come along with recent improvements in polling for the Biden administration and changes in political polling and special elections since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. I want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. Have recent actions from the Biden administration and Congress changed how you feel about these midterm elections and who you're going to vote for better or for worse? Will student loan forgiveness or the Inflation Reduction Act influence how you vote in November? Do you think those moves and others from the Biden administration will help drive voter turnout in the midterm? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Stephen Smith is a distinguished professor of social sciences and a professor of political science at Washington University in St. Louis. Steve, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be with you, Rob.
Well, it seems almost old-fashioned and normal, Steve. A party does stuff while they control the government and then goes out to election, takes it to voters for an up or down vote. I don't know. Do voters vote based on what actually gets done in Washington anymore?
Well, they do, but there's less of it than there has been in the past. Partisan preferences are dictating voting behavior in the general public more than we've seen in really several generations. And so attitudes about the incumbent president, the party in power, are pretty well fixed on the basis of just who they are, what their party label is. But there still remains a sizable number of Americans who are not committed to either party. And maybe just a few partisans who can switch sides, but it's mainly those independents, those people in the middle, people who are not too attentive to politics most of the time, who can still sway or determine the outcome of elections. And there are still enough close elections so that it can tip the balance for majority control of Congress.
Do you see parties and political leaders focusing more on those persuadable voters, those people who could conceivably vote for either party, or in a midterm election, focusing on making sure the same people who showed up in the presidential year on our side, whichever side that is, show up in this midterm year?
It's a tough question to answer. We have reason to think that maybe this midterm is going to be a little different than midterms we've seen. Emotions are running high right now about a number of issues. We've seen a surge in voter registration among women in some key states as a result of the Dodd decision on abortion by the Supreme Court. We've seen some late success with the Inflation Reduction Act on the part of the incumbent party. On the economic side, inflation is high, but it doesn't seem to be continuing to rise. Unemployment is way up and consumer spending is high, which indicates some confidence in the future. So the incumbent party, the Democrats, who we thought would really be in a very difficult spot by now, seem to have recovered their position a bit, making the outcome in November very uncertain.
Let's look at some of the most recent news here. We had the Biden administration using an executive action to forgive a decent chunk of student loan debt to a lot of borrowers holding that debt, going to appeal presumably to a lot of Democratic supporters, Republicans criticizing it, but maybe worried about the impact on votes. Well, listen to Republican Senator Ted Cruz from Texas talking last week on his podcast.
There is a real risk if you are that slacker barista who wasted 7 years in college studying completely useless things, now has loans and can't get a job. Joe Biden just gave you 20 grand. Like, holy cow, 20 grand. That, you know, maybe you weren't going to vote in November and suddenly you just got 20 grand. And, you know, if you can, you know, get off the bong for a minute and head down to the voting station or just send in your mail-in ballot that the Democrats have helpfully sent you, it could drive up turnout. Particularly among young people.
Do you see that particular executive action potentially driving up turnout for Democrats, or maybe that backlash that we're hearing there driving up turnout for Republicans, Steve?
Well, the backlash, I think, was pretty sharp, but I think remarkably brief. It lasted a few days, a week. And the last couple of days, you know, we're off on other issues. One of the difficulties for the Republicans this year is that Trump keeps squeezing out their regular message. They would like to talk about things like wasteful government spending and the unfairness of administration actions. But their message gets pushed to the side by news about what's happening in Mar-a-Lago or elsewhere. So they're their own worst enemy on an issue like this. In general, I think that the student loan issue will work to the advantage of the Democrats. You know, people who oppose it are not likely to vote on the basis of the student loan action. They're going to dislike Biden and the Democrats for plenty of other reasons. But there will be a large number of people, we know it numbers in the millions, who are going to benefit with the forgiveness program that will save many of them $10,000 and maybe an equal number, about $20,000. They will remember that. And so the direct beneficiaries, for them, it's a big deal. And I think on balance, it'll benefit the Democrats, sure.
Talking to Stephen Smith, Distinguished Professor of Social Sciences at Washington University in St. Louis, political scientist there, looking at the road ahead now to the midterm elections and the many different issues, the bills passed in Congress, executive actions, abortion, Biden's approval rating, Trump's approval rating, and persistence in the news. What are you watching? What is motivating you as you look ahead to these elections? Are you locked in? Have you been locked in all along? Or do you consider yourself persuadable? Or do you know someone who is? They're rare. They're out there. 800-642-1234 is the number to call with your personal opinion. Or if you want to play pundit and tell us which issue you think is going to make a difference. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Steve, you touched on the abortion issue in these midterms. We had the Supreme Court overturn Roe v. Wade, throw things back to the states. Bans now in effect, partial or complete, in Wisconsin and a lot of other places. What are you seeing so far in things like polling and special elections that might hint at the impact of that come November?
Well, the most direct evidence is that in states that have taken some steps against abortion, that there's been a surge in registration among women. And of course, you have to register in order to vote. So it's a pretty important signal, I think, that on balance, the abortion issue is likely to work in the favor of the Democrats. And that's not too surprising. You know, in politics, generally speaking, negative reactions to what's going on motivate people more than positive ones. those who are upset with the Supreme Court decision and when the actions taken in many states are more likely to be motivated to vote than those who favored it. So on balance, that works for the Democrats. And since women are already favor Democrats more than Republicans, the gender gap might even be larger this time. And that's probably good news for the Democrats. So there are a number of things here, Rob, that work in favor of the Democrats. Nevertheless, the Republicans are holding their own in most of the polls about who people intend to vote for. But the distance between the two parties has narrowed considerably. Essentially, the average of the polls now shows essentially a tie on what's called the generic congressional ballot. That is, people are asked in general whether they intend to vote for the Democrat or Republican candidate for Congress in their district. And it's now on a national basis about a tie. And so that's an improvement over the last few months for the Democrats. However, districting advantages the Republicans. So a tie vote in national polls means that the Republicans will probably win more districts, almost certainly will. I would hazard a guess based on these good studies I've read. If a tie vote's likely to produce about a 15 or 20 seat Republican advantage. And that's enough to make the House majority Republican after the election.
We're talking to Washington University social sciences and political science professor Steve Smith about the upcoming midterm elections and how recent action from the Biden administration, recent bills passed by Congress, might influence voter turnout. You can join in at 800-642-1234 on particular issues. Do you approve of the Biden administration's student loan, a partial forgiveness, or some of the bills passed in Congress by the Democrats, the one focused on climate change, the infrastructure bill? Do the administration's actions change how you're going to vote this November? Does abortion motivate you, whichever side you're on? Do you know people who are maybe paying more attention to the elections because of that or the other issues we're talking about? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Oh, and our races here in Wisconsin, should ask you about those. The Senate race, Mandela Barnes, incumbent Ron Johnson. What do you want to hear from them? What issues have you excited or worried about one or the other? How about Evers Michaels for governor? Same questions, 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're bringing up our talk with Steve Smith, professor of political science and social sciences at Washington University in St. Louis, with us today looking at how things like student loan debt forgiveness, the Inflation Reduction Act, other recent action from the Biden administration could affect voters, mobilize them on one side or another in the November midterm elections. You could join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. What are you paying attention to in these elections? What race is front and center in your mind? Is there a particular issue that has you excited or worried for the November elections? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Kathy from Harsha called in and said she wants to see representative government again. She thinks political parties are keeping us from having representation and that politicians are too loyal to the parties, not the people. Steve, I know political parties sometimes have a bad reputation. What do you think about Kathy's worries?
I think it's a widely shared worry. It's one that I share too, because we do worry that parties become so partisan that they care more about winning than they do care about governing. And so there's a trade-off there that I think we have to worry about. But let's be realistic. Parties serve democracy in very important ways. And they're going to form whether we like them or not, because people who are like-minded, people who share the same policy objectives, are going to organize with each other in parties to try to win elections and to try to influence policy choices. So they are essentially inevitable. The question is, how do we encourage them to work with each other? And it could very well be that the two parties are at this moment so different and so evenly matched on a national basis that it's going to keep this sharp polarization with us for the foreseeable future. But parties, I'm afraid, if we like democracy, and we like our large democracy, are going to be with us, whether we like it or not.
Kathy, thanks for sharing that with us at 800-642-1234. Steve, I started off by mentioning that President Biden planning on coming to Wisconsin on Labor Day. We saw former President Trump campaigning with a lot of people leading up to primaries in various states. How big an impact do you think it could have for a Biden visit, a Trump visit to key battleground states like Wisconsin?
Well, presidential elections do start earlier and earlier. The Trump story, of course, is in many ways a special case. He wants to maintain his own viability by doing favors for Republicans around the country. Of course, he wants to retain his own viability, his personal visibility and popularity with Republican audiences. But at the same time, he's trying to build a base of support among Republican activists and politicians, people who may owe him something in a couple of years from now when we're in a presidential election year. So, you know, that it makes sense. It's a special case because seldom do we have a politician who is so visible a former president who's a potential candidate for the president in the future. It's just an unusual circumstance. It's not unusual for a sitting president to start thinking about visiting states that might be important to winning re-election. That's a very old story. So it's not too surprising that Wisconsin, which of course is always in the mix, is a place that President Biden will visit more often than not. You know, Biden's not going to be visiting New York and California very often. He's going to be visiting Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Florida, the usual places where just a few votes can tip the balance and shift a large number of electoral votes.
Now, if I'm running for office in one of these states, do I want these visits? I could look at, if I'm a Democrat, look at Biden's approval numbers. Yeah, they've been inching up some. He's still underwater. Former President Trump's approval numbers, often pretty low, not much better now that he's out of office. Do I want to keep them somewhat at arm's length?
Well, there are some difficult strategic choices for everyone involved, and a president can show up in a state without having many members of the congressional delegation in attendance. That's happened. But, you know, on balance, at this stage, this far away from a presidential election, they're going to be very, very patient with the president. But, you know, they realize, too, that the president's popularity is a big factor in their own chances for election or reelection. So if Biden can come in and do a good job and sway a few voters into thinking that the Republicans or the Democrats are the better choice, then that does even some of those Democrats who aren't too keen on Biden, it does them a favor. If Biden can bump up his numbers from the low 40s to the mid or high 40s, that could make a big difference 2 months from now.
I want to turn to the Senate a little bit now. What do we know about voters and their decision-making when it comes to, you know, do I like Ron Johnson or Mandela Barnes, our candidates here in Wisconsin, or do I want Democrats or Republicans to control the Senate? Are we thinking locally about these two particular candidates, or are we thinking nationally about, you know, who's in charge in Washington?
It's difficult to generalize. Voters vary widely in the factors that they take into account. Some are going to be partisan, and it doesn't matter who the candidates are or what the balance of power in Congress or in Washington happens to be. They're going to vote with party. And that's likely to be the case for the vast majority of voters. There will be some voters who will take into account, you know, very personalistic factors, like or dislike Ron Johnson, for example. The incumbent is usually more of a referendum on the incumbent than favoring the challenger. Their thoughts about the president, though, do make a difference, and even in Senate contests, attitudes about the incumbent president will influence their votes for in Senate races. Finally, there are a few voters who will be thinking about what the balance of power in Washington is likely to be after the election. Nearly everyone predicts that the House will become majority Republican. And so those middle of the road voters who might like to see the parties balanced and not have one party get too powerful, not have too big of a win, they could very easily vote for a Democrat in a House race and a Republican for the Senate race, or vice versa, depending upon how they see things working out. The idea there is that some voters actually like to see balanced parties in Washington without either of them becoming too powerful. Even though others would then say, well, that's just a recipe for gridlock. But that's the mix of attitudes that we actually see in the public right now. It's really quite a diverse public. There's no single kind of voter out there.
And Steve, something I wanted to ask you, we've got, you know, Wisconsin's very evenly divided when you have a statewide election. And, sure. You know, back in my political science classes days, I might think that would mean, okay, if we want to win an election, we've got to moderate and move toward the center, find ways to work together to represent the interests of people. Well, it seems like that's the opposite of what's happening. Why is that?
Well, you've hit the nail on the head, and it has a lot to do with the fact that the Democrats are pretty much a liberal party and the Republicans pretty much a conservative party. There's far less of a mix of ideologies and policy perspectives in each party than there once was. If you want to make your way through a primary, get a nomination, and get to the general election ballot, you've got to appeal to your fellow partisans. And those fellow partisans now are more polarized than they used to be. So the Democrats are almost always going to nominate a liberal, and the Republicans always a conservative. And we get very few moderates elected. They don't make their way to the general election ballot in November. So it has to do with the kind of the sorting of people into sort of ideological camps that now are more closely tied to one party or the other. And that's been a long-term process over recent decades. It started way back in the 60s and 70s when the South, which had been one-party Democrat for more than a century, became increasingly Republican, making the Republican Party more conservative on balance. And a lot of Midwestern and Northeastern Republicans who were moderate to liberals, there was a time when Jacob Javits, a senator from New York, a Republican, was almost the most liberal member of Congress. Those moderate to liberal Republicans have disappeared. The same has happened on the Democratic side. Very few conservative Democrats remaining, although Southerners lost their seats or retired and were replaced by Republicans, leaving the Democrats to be more one-sidedly liberal. And that's been a long-term pattern. It's not going to be easy to come out of that. And it's hard to see exactly what political circumstances might break up that very monolistic nature of each party's electorate.
And we'll leave it there. Steve, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be with you, Rob.
That's Steve Smith from Washington University looking at the road to November and the big issues in the midterm elections.